explore, talk to you tonight on the subject is First Baptist Church of Hammond, a cult. And this is not a crusading kind of a sermon. This is the kind of a sermon where I want to help you, because I think that you can or any organization can become a cult. And so I'm talking about a cult, not occult. I'm talking about a cult. And so tonight, you listen carefully. Father, bless the message tonight. I think this is the kind of message that our people need right now. And I have an idea that everybody here that listens will agree in a few minutes. So I pray you'd help me as I speak, and the dear ones who hear, please make this beneficial for us. Amen. We have in our city a beloved newspaper called the Hammond Times. It's somewhere between Garfield and Charlie Brown, somewhere. But the Hammond Times printed an article about us. Well, they printed several articles about us. But among others, they printed an article about us, some little gal that just got out of college and should never have gone. And if she did, she shouldn't have gotten out. And she came for a whole year and visited our church, a whole year. I mean, every service for a year. And some of you were here the night that we gave her a faithful attendance diploma for having been here for an entire year here in First Baptist Church of Hammond. And so she wrote an article. I like what Bobby Knight, stay out of my preaching. I like what Bobby Knight says. Bobby Knight says, all of us learn to write by the time we're seven, and most of us go on to higher things. But among other things, she wrote an article on the fact that First Baptist Church is a cult. Now, of course, she hadn't got enough sense to know what a cult is. People like that, who don't have any religion at all, when they find somebody that's devoted to Christ, it just looks cultish to them, that's all. And compared to them, it is cultish, but compared to what a cult is, it is not cultish. It's become very popular these days for the enemies of old-fashioned fundamentalism to call a real soul-winning, fundamental, Bible-believing church a cult. And especially as it's become very popular from enemies of First Baptist Church to call First Baptist Church a cult. Now, then perhaps we should look into the subject. If you would check with Webster's Dictionary, the Seventh New Collegiate Dictionary, it says that a cult is formal religious veneration or worship. It also says that a cult is a system of religious beliefs and ritual and its body of adherents. According to Webster's Dictionary, every church is a cult. Everybody that has a worship service or a public religious service on Sunday morning is a cult, because a cult is a formal religious veneration or worship or a system of religious beliefs and ritual. Now let me tell you what I think a cult is. The word cult comes from the word cultivate. I think a cult is any area of our lives which is over-cultivated at the expense of all the other good areas of our lives. I'd like especially for every husband and wife to listen to me. I'd like especially for everybody who has a ministry in First Baptist Church to listen to me. Everybody who participates in any phase of our church program, listen very carefully. I wish I had a better voice tonight, because I want you to get this, so you'll have to work a little harder than usual, because I can't work quite as hard as usual. I want to give you three things tonight, and then a few comments. Number one, life is divided into several different affiliations. Each affiliation is to promote the other. A cult is any one of those affiliations which damages the others and captures people to themselves away from the others. Let me say it again. A cult is one of those affiliations which captures the people and damages their affiliation or relationship with other affiliations. For example, a child has a home, a church, and a school. I'm talking about now school-age child. Now, the home is supposed to promote the church and promote the school. And the church is supposed to promote the home and promote the school. And the school is to promote the home and promote the church. Now, a church can become a cult if the church takes that child away from the other organizations or affiliations that child needs to have. Or a school can become a cult. By the way, if any one of these organizations is cultish, it's our school system. But a school can become a cult if the school commands and demands too much of that child's life at the expense of the child having time at home and having a home life, and at the expense of the child having a church life and time at church, then that school becomes a cult. So I'm saying that any one of these affiliations that controls the child's life at the expense of the others, it becomes cultish, if you please. So you can have a cultish home, you can have a cultish church, you can have a cultish school. Now I want to make it very plain here at First Baptist Church of Heaven. We do not promote our church at the expense of your home. You ask the parents, there's some here tonight, of Hiles Anderson College students. You ask them, and they'll tell you that when their students came home from Hiles Anderson College after a semester or a year, they loved mom and dad more than they did when they left. And that they told mom and dad they loved them more than they did when they left. And you ask any pastor who's objective, who has students at Hiles Anderson College, and he'll tell you that the Hiles Anderson College students, when they come home, show love for their church and love for their pastor more than any other college students who come home when they come home. Because Hiles Anderson College is not a cult. It fosters a closer family tie. It fosters a closer church tie. And the First Baptist Church of Hammond is not a cult. Let me tell you the cult talk. These people are talking about us being a cult. They're spending their entire life trying to destroy us. They're one-dimensional. They're a cult. That's all they're trying to do. That's their big thing in life. So they're a cult. Because they are one. Basically, a cult is something that makes a person one-dimensional in his life. In our society, the real cult is the school or the government school. Now, an adult has different affiliations. An adult has home, he has school, and he has work. Now, if the has a home and church and work, the adult does. Now, if the home can be a cult, if the home says we'll have church at home and school at home and you just stay at home all the time, the home becomes a cult. I'm not saying that homeschooling is wrong. I am saying that home churching is wrong. And so a home can become a cult, and a church can become a cult, and a school can become a cult. Over in Lansing, Illinois, there used to be a church over there. Every day on the radio broadcast, the pastor lambasted me and this church, which is, of course, the popular thing to do. And it's one of the most enjoyable sports in the world, to lambast Brother Hyatt. But I've been lambasted by better people than that, and worse people than that. This preacher lambasted me on the radio every day. And what they did, they decided that they were going to have the church a little closer. So they saw in the Bible, it says, greet one another with a holy kiss. That's right here in Lansing, Illinois. So they decided that men would kiss each other when they came to church, and that men would kiss women when they came to church. It's a holy kiss. Now, I'm 64 years old, nearly, but I'm not dead. And I can remember enough to know this, that there ain't no such thing as a holy kiss between men and women unless they're married each other. I mean, I know that's true. And you know it's true, too. Even you sanctified people, you know it's true, too. But then they decided they'd pray together. So then they had men with men going to motel rooms to pray together. Then they had men with women going to motel rooms to pray together, because after all, it's a spiritual thing. And then they decided to leave over here in Lansing and move out west somewhere and form a little communal. Now, that's a cult. That's a cult. Because that church is saying, we will control your school, we will control your home, we will control your entire life. That's a cult. I had a friend down in Texas years ago who took his church and moved to Arizona, out in the Arizona area, and got a little place out in the desert, and they built a little communal out there. They lived out there, and that's a cult. So I'm saying this. I'm saying that First Baptist Church of Hammond needs to be very careful that we promote the home relationship. That's what the society is built on. And we must promote the home relationship. And then the school, Hammond Baptist Schools and Howells Anderson College, must promote the home and the church relationship. I said this to our teachers the other day. It's not right for a child to get ready for school every morning, start getting ready, say, at 7 o'clock every morning, maybe earlier, and then that child do nothing but school all day. When he gets home, all afternoon and all evening, and goes to bed 8 or 9 o'clock at night, having done nothing but homework since he got home from school. That's wrong. The school becomes a cult. The school ought to say, we want to leave some time to have family life. So if the school controls the life, the school becomes a cult. If the home says, we'll take care of the school and the church, the home becomes a cult. If the church says, we'll take care of the school and the home, the church becomes a cult. Now, secondly, life is divided into several relationships. I mentioned a while ago affiliations, such as church, home, school, business, work, so forth. Now, number two, life is divided into several relationships. Each of these relationships is to foster the others and make the others stronger. For example, a child has a mother. A child has a father. Those were brilliant statements. You might want to write that down. A child has a mother. A child has a father. A child has a teacher. A child has a pastor. A child has a brother. A child has a sister. A child has a Sunday school teacher. A child has a grandmother. A child has a grandfather. Now, every one, listen to me, every one of these relationships ought to foster and promote the other relationships. I know cultish mothers that want to smother their children. and the child has no other relationship except with mother. Please don't write down what I'm talking. Listen to me. I'm talking to you. I want you to hear me. And you'll get more if you'll get it written up here than written down there somewhere. You may lose this, but you won't lose it if you listen to what I'm saying. Now, I'm saying that I know cultish fathers. I know fathers who want to control everything. And I know cultish teachers who want to be the child's life. I know cultish pastors. I know cultish brothers and sisters and Sunday school teachers and grandparents. I know some cultish husbands. You know, almost every time a young couple gets a divorce, this is involved. Now, I'm not saying that this is a reason for divorce, but almost every time this is involved, the husband wants to totally control the life of the wife. He wants to put her, some of you Howells Anderson guys want to do this, put your wife in a cage. Keep her locked up there. Come home and unlock it and kiss her and love her and put her back in the cage. Well, while she's out, she should fix you something to eat and iron your shirts also. But the simple truth is, fellas, you're supposed to promote your wife to be a better daughter than she was without you. I know cultish husbands that want to totally control. I know cultish mothers. I know cultish wives. I mean, if you want to have a fist fight, fellas, just go play around the golf. And she won't talk to you for a week because she's a cultish wife. She wants to control your life. I know cultish boyfriends. Some of you guys at Howells Anderson College, you act like you're already married. I mean, you become a bad husband before you get married. I mean, she's not to obey you. You're not married yet. And by the way, after you get married, there's nothing in the Bible says you're to command her to obey you. It's God that commands her to obey you. You're not supposed to force obedience. She's supposed to obey God to obey you. But I'm simply saying, I know boyfriends at the college that they don't want their girlfriends to have any other friends at all. Even a girlfriend maybe. And they want to control their lives and totally dominate their lives. And they're cultish boyfriends. I know some cultish teachers. I know some cultish friends. I'm thinking of two ladies in this church that became cultish. And They weren't lesbians or anything like that. But they became such good friends, they both wanted to control each other. And if one had any another friend, then that friend got jealous and just pouted and almost had a spell because that she wanted to totally control that friend. Ladies and gentlemen, life is composed of many, many associations. Life is composed of many, many relationships. And every relationship that is proper and right should promote every other relationship that is proper and right. This church is trying to make you a better everything. This church is trying to make you a better wife. This church is trying to make you a better husband. That's what I'm doing right now. I mean, right now, I'm going totally contrary to the philosophy of cults. Right now, I'm saying, we don't want to control your life. Just your money. Live like you want to live. Just write the check. But I'll get around to cut to two. But I'm saying, no, we don't want to control your life. We want everybody in this room to be a better whatever you are that is right to be because of First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. Let me give you an example, a statement or two. I have never, as pastor of this church, I have never tried to take anyone away from any other right responsibility. In the 31 years I've pastored this church, never one time have I tried to take anyone away from a proper responsibility. Number two, I have never in 31 years wanted to be first in your lives. You've heard me say this again and again. I don't demand to be first in your life. I want you to love me. That's all I want. If you want to love this man more than you love me, that's okay. You'd be an idiot if you did, but that's okay. I don't care if there are 10 men up here, 11 men tonight, I don't, 12 including me, I don't care if I'm 12th on the list. That doesn't bother me. I'm not trying to control your life. I'm trying to enrich your life. And I have never, in one time, in 31 years, I have never asked you to put me first in your life, or put me first on the staff, first in the church, or first in any place. Also, when the students come to the college, I tell them, I will not let you make me your favorite preacher. I don't want to be your favorite preacher. I want your pastor back home to be your favorite preacher. Oh, these pastors, I go preach somewhere, and a guy walks up, and he's got 40 people in his church, and he grinned like a possum, and he says to me, he said, "Brother Howell, I got a girl in your school, and she wrote me a letter, and guess what she said?" And I say, "What?" "He said, she said, I'm the greatest preacher in the whole world, and Brother Howell's his second." He said, "There it is. Read it for yourself." He didn't know I wrote the letter and had her sign it, but but I'm saying, that's the way I want it. A cultist leader wants to be the whole thing. He wants to run the show. He wants to control your life. I don't want that. I've never tried to control my staff. You ask my staff. Brother Howes does not like to lead. And I really don't, listen to me now, I really don't like the boss. I don't like the boss. You ask anybody that works for me, I hate bossing. Ask Dr. Evans, ask Dr. Jorgensen, ask these men on the platform, ask any of them. I don't like to boss. And the truth is, if you knew the truth about it, you'd find out that probably I'm the easiest boss to work for in the world because I don't like to boss. I just hardly ever bawl anybody out. I mean, not over three or four times a day do I ever bawl anybody out. But so I'm saying I don't try to control my staff, never have. By the way, I've never asked anybody to be 100% for Hiles. Never have. About a year and 3 months ago, a certain article was printed, and I went out west to preach a week or two later. Brother Jack Treeper, out in Santa Clara, California, had printed some buttons up, said 100% for Hiles. Well, somehow or other, those buttons got into our books I send out where I preach. And on my book table, these buttons were for sale back there, 100% for Hiles. I have nothing to do with it. Didn't even know they were there. I saw these folks had buttons on 100% for Hiles. I thought somebody's made them to them around the country. I didn't know they're getting them from my book table. And so all across the country, people say, it's a cult. It's a cult. preachers say, I'm not 100% for anybody. Now, the truth is, that's not what Jack Treber meant. Jack Treber wasn't saying that I am 100% for everything Brother Howes does, and everything he believes, I believe. He wasn't saying that. He's saying Brother Howes gets in trouble, I'm 100% for him in his fight. And nobody has any sense believes that Jack Treber was saying, I am 100% for everything Brother Howes believes. But a lot of my enemies and some of my friends like to say, well, I'm just not 100% for anybody. Well, why don't you get 100% for somebody? Why don't you get 100% for your husband? How about 50? 25? Who will bid 20? No, I'm simply saying, I did not promote that, and the truth is, you ask my children and their spouses, I do not interfere in any way with their lives. Anyway, the truth is they wish I would more. I'm not that way. I don't like to control things. I don't like to control people. And there's no way in this world. Now, it just so happens that a lot of people don't know anything about what Christian love is. And so they look at a church like ours that has Christian love, where folks love the pastor and love the church, and to them, that's cultish. Now, that same person that says that's cultish, they can bowl five nights a week, and that's all right. Or they can play golf five days a week, and that's okay. Or they can join the Audubon Association and live for the Audubon Association, that's okay. Or they can spend their whole lives on the prevention of cruelty to dumb animals. That means be kind to deacons. But they can spend their whole lives. That's okay. Well, let me tell you something, brother. The honest, simple truth is that we ought to love Christ with all of our hearts. And as the Scripture said a while ago, we ought to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And we're not to be conformed to this world, but transformed with the renewing of our minds. We're supposed to give everything to Jesus. Matthew 6:33, still in the Bible. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But you're not supposed to take one little segment of life and make that a one-dimensional life. You're not. One organization is not supposed to capture somebody. Let me say this. A ministry can be a cult. A sailor ministry can be a cult. If the sailor ministry folks don't participate in anything else in the church. And the bus ministry can be a cult. And the youth ministry can be a cult. And the teenage Bible club ministry can be a cult. The truth is, anything that captures you for itself at the expense of all the other rich things that you can have in life becomes a cult. Number three, not only is life divided into several different affiliations, and life is divided into several different relationships, but life is divided into several activities. And each of these activities of life should be nourished by the others. You can have a cultish athletic program. You can be a cultish weightlifter. I am. I lift weights every morning. First thing I do is lift weights. Just getting up is lifting a lot of weight. And I owe that to the specimen that you see before you tonight. But you can have a cultish athletic program. That's strange, isn't it? A coach can get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, stay up till midnight that night, watching films, coaching the team, and that's not cultish. Let a Baptist preacher do that for Jesus, and he's a cult. Now, the truth is, you can have a cultish athletic program, you can have a cultish youth program, you can have a cultish music program, you can have a cultish bodybuilding program, you can have even a cultish soul-winning program. You could join the foster club at the expense of every other relationship in life. And be cultish in your life. I know a young man used to go to this church. His whole life was built around music, around the piano. Now listen carefully to me. I'm not against playing the piano. I'm not against a young man playing the piano if he plays ball more. See what I said? I'm not against a young man playing the piano if he plays football and baseball and basketball more. But when this young man, the piano became everything to him. I mean, he had spent 6 or 7 hours a day practicing the piano. And it was his whole life. He had no other interest in life. Now, what was he? The piano was a cult to him. I know a young man in this church who's a weightlifter. And I mean, he's serious about this thing. He's building him a magnificent body. I'm his hero, of course. And he's building him a magnificent body. And hour upon hour upon hour. Now, at the expense, he never runs around with any young people. Doesn't play any sports. Has no other activity in life. That's cultish. I know a lady came to me one time, and she said, "Dr. Hiles, I'm a soul winner." She said, "I'm married and have children, but I'm a soul winner, and God has called me to the mission field." I said, listen to me now. I'm having a hard enough time talking. Hey, listen to me. I've had a hard enough time talking without you competing with me now. Now follow me carefully. This lady came to me, and she said, "God's called me to the mission field." I said, "How about your children?" She said, "They'll my husband will rear them at home here." "How many you got?" She said, 10. I said, "You Jezebel, get out of my office here. Don't you stand. You got a mission field at home. You got a house full of heathen. Go home and work with them. Work on them." Let me tell you something. Bible study can become a cult. I know people just living the Bible all the time. That's a cult. That's cultish. I know people living prayer. And that's wonderful. But that's all they do. Like a monk in a monastery. They live in prayer all the time. And that's cultish. I know people who are cultish about the abortion issue. And that's strange, isn't it? These liberal pinkos, they can pro-abortion and have their rallies in Washington, D.C. And Hammond Times never calls them a cult. They can get wrapped up in this one thing, and that's all. The people can get wrapped up in the atmosphere. What am I trying to say? Environment, yeah. That's all they live for. Or people can get wrapped up in the prevention of cruelty to animals. I said a while ago. Why, we had a Halloween party one time down at the youth center. And I don't think they should have done it, but they did. They burned a rat. It was this liberal preacher. But they burned a rat. And you know that all over this area, we had trouble. The prevention of cruelty to dumb animals. We made radio broadcast, telecast, newscast. Why, one day, Brother Young, he gave baby chickens on Easter Sunday. I told him not to. He gave baby chickens on Easter Sunday. Do you know that they caught the prosecutor of Lake County, Indiana? I had to get me a lawyer and go out there to the county offices and appear before the prosecutor for giving out free baby chicks. He looked at me and he said, "Reverend, is it true that you gave out free baby chicks?" I said, "Yeah, I did worse than that too." He said, "What?" I said, "I ate their mother." You know, he didn't seem to like you as much as you did. Why, he almost put me in jail for what this guy did. Now, the truth is, folks, we're starting school. Teachers, promote the family. Principals, promote the family. Don't give the child so much homework that he gets home from school. He has to study all the time until he goes to bed. God is moving in this place. I said, the child. Now, once it gets in college, stick it to him. I'll tell you something. Now, here's what will happen. I'll say this, and you will overreact. But you guys are in college. God bless you. I feel sorry for you. Because you've got to go to college in the morning, and you got to work in the afternoon and at night, and then come home and kiss your kids and spank your wife and go back to college in the morning. And not a single one of you wives ought to say what I'm going to say. And you should not throw this sermon up to your husbands. But the truth is, fellas, you do have a wife. And in most cases, you have some children. Now, it doesn't take 5 hours a day. May I tell you a few little things I did when our kids were little? I traveled a lot. I was not home as much as many nights as most fathers are. I'd drive our kids to school when they're grade school. I'd drive them to school. And I'd leave maybe 15 minutes early and drive them by the park. And swing for a while. Maybe have a little picnic in the park for a while. I can recall how... May I have this microphone, please, here? Amen. I can recall how I used to drive them to school, and I'd play like an old man. Don't have to play that anymore. I'd play like an old man. And I'd sit down in the car, and I would slump in the seat. You know, like this. I'd put my glasses like that. Coat like that, and I'd drive the car like that. For you folks over here. But anyway, I'd drive the car like that. And I'd get to the stoplight. Not the stop sign. I look this way. I look this way. And the kids were little. They loved that. I'd leave 15 minutes early and go up on the playground at school and swing with them for a while. It doesn't take an hour and a half a day for a child. 15 or 20 minutes given only and solely to a child will transform your relationship with that child. I'm saying life is composed of many different relationships. Now, it ought to be. Now, let me say this. Don't demand yours. I told you husbands a while ago, don't demand your wife's obedience. Let God do that. And I said, you wives, don't demand your husband's time. Don't throw in his face what I'm saying tonight. But the honest, simple truth is, you are a father, and you are a husband, and you are a church member, and you ought to have every relationship wholesome and healthy as possible. Now, I'll tell you something. I haven't said this much. But if your children are 3 or 4 years old, you come to Hiles Anderson College. Now, listen carefully to what I'm going to say. And you stay here 5 or 6 years, the best years of their life will be spent here. And you'll never have another chance to relive them. Never. You'd be very, very wise to take a next year in college and take an hour every day that you're going to save and spend with your family. What good's it going to do to you? Listen, what good's it going to do to you if your wife is gone and left you and you want to be a preacher? Now, she shouldn't do it. She shouldn't do it. But they do. I'm saying in every single person's life, there are several affiliations. And those affiliations should help each other and encourage each other. The one that captures one is a cult. The bus ministry ought to promote the Sunday school and promote the teenage ministry and promote the youth program. And the youth program ought to promote the high school. And the high school ought to promote the youth program. And the grade school ought to promote the Sunday school. And the Sunday school teacher ought to promote the grade school. And all of us ought to promote the home. Let me tell you some cults. Television is a cult. Of course, the Dirty Hammond Times will put that in their paper. Television's a cult. It is controlling the American society. It is destroying the home. It is destroying the school. And it's destroying the church. And television is a cult. Number two, the news media is cultish. The news media, it's cultish. It controls the thinking of American people. I mean, what we think about Hussein. Sujiwiz. Hussein. We get it in the newspaper. I mean, there's nothing in America that is as cultish as the media. Number three, the public school system's a cult. It is a humanistic cult with its intent to spread humanism to the mind of the youth of America. I was driving to work Friday morning. Saw the kids out ready, waiting for the school bus. Teenagers. 12 girls at one stop. All of them had on shorts. Going to the public school system. Public school system is a cult. And that cult is to destroy your relationship with your church. And the government is trying to destroy your relationship with your home, saying that they have control of your children and that your children belong to them. No, they don't belong to them. They belong to you. Years ago, our son was in, before we had our schools, our son was in junior high school at Munster High School. He came home with a book one day. He said, "Dad, I've got to read this book." I said, "What is it?" He said, "It's, Of Mice and Men by Steinbeck." And I said, "Son, you can't read that book. You can't read that book." He said, "But, Dad, my teacher says I have to. My English teacher says I have to." I said, "Well, your English teacher's wrong. I'm your dad, and I have authority over you more than your English teacher does." I said, tell your teacher you can't read that book. Next night, he brought another book home. He said, "Dad, the teacher gave me this one as a substitute." I said, "What is it?" He said, "Catcher in the Rye." "What's the author of that?" "Are you sure?" "Okay. You know all that stuff, don't you?" That man reads more dirty stuff than anybody in the world. It's his job to check every dirty magazine we catch the students reading at Howells Edison College and check and see if they got filth in them. Why, he spends as much as an hour on one magazine checking it carefully. I said, "Son, you can't read this one either. Catcher in the Rye makes of Mice and Men look like a Sunday school quarterly material. He said, "Dad, I'm afraid to go back to school." I said, "Don't be afraid. I'll go with you." Next day, I went up to Munster High School. As soon as the doors opened, I walked to the principal's office, took the book with me. I said to the principal, he said, "Hello, Reverend Howes. Glad to see you again." I had been there before. He said, "What can I do for you?" I said, "I came to tell you that my boy can't read this book." "Well," he said, "Reverend, we certainly want to cooperate with you any way we can, and we're willing to give a little, and I'm sure, being a man of the cloth." I said, "What do you wear?" "I'm sure, being a man of the cloth, I'm sure that we can have a meeting of the minds." I said, "Didn't come meet your mind. I came to make an announcement. My boy's not reading the book." He said, "Reverend," he said, "your boy has got to read that book or the other." "Oh," I said, "no, he doesn't either. That's my boy." He stood up from his desk, leaned like this. It bothers me when a principal starts doing like that. He said, "Reverend, when your boy walks in that door right there, he's no longer your boy." fee, fi, fo, fum. I wanted the blood of a principal man. Before I knew it, I jumped across his desk, grabbed both his collars of his coat, like lapels like that, and shook him like a bottle of medicine. And I said, let me tell you something, Buster. That boy's my boy. If he's here or home or between here and home or wherever he is, that's my boy. He said, hold it, Reverend. Hold it, Reverend. He said, we'll let the English committee decide this. I said, I'll be glad to tell the committee, but I've already decided my boy is not going to read the book. You see the cultish public school system? We had a meeting of the English committee. Assistant basketball coach was the chairman. 12 teachers. I think it was 12 teachers sitting around a circle. I sit right in the middle. The coach got up and said, Reverend, we're here to certainly let you know we respect your rights. I said, didn't come to get any rights. Came to announce the rights I've already got. I came to tell you my boy's not going to read the book. One little female teacher sitting over here. She didn't have on a skirt. She had on a long blouse is all she had on. And she began to wiggle. And she said, oh, my, in all of my life, I've never met anybody quite like you. And I said, honey, where I come from, your type is mighty scarce too, thank God. My boy didn't read the book. Didn't read the book. I'm saying the public school system has become cultish. Not a fundamental church that tries to promote the home and promote the school. I'm talking about the public school system. The cultish people are those that are calling us cultish. That isn't all. The Supreme Court's a cult. They control America. They decide what's right or wrong. They pass the laws. They're a cult. They control America. The United States government's a cult. They want to control the churches, control the Christian schools, devaluate the home. It's a cult. People with one thing in mind and one-dimensional people are cultish. And one-dimensional organizations are cultish. Now tonight, as we begin our school year, we've had 3 months for Mom and Dad to get to know Junior and Susie. Let's don't make them strangers for 9 months. Let everybody in this room realize that life is composed of several different affiliations. And let no affiliation prosper at the injuring of the other affiliations. Let us realize that life is divided into several relationships. Let no one relationship in life prosper at the expense of other relationships. But let every affiliation promote a healthy relationship with all the others, and let every relationship promote a healthy relationship with others. For example, this man right here, Jack Scott. This is Howell's son-in-law. Now, Jack Scott knows that I don't interfere with his business. In fact, the truth is, I have an idea he wish I would more. But I don't. When he took our daughter, he got our daughter. And she traded me for him. What a lousy deal. But she traded me for him. Now, I don't interfere. I'll tell you what he does. He does everything he can to see to it that Cindy loves her dad and loves her mom. He promotes and encourages her relationship with her parents. That's what all of us ought to do in every area of our lives. Look, teacher, your one little subject is not the only one in the world. I know teachers by the way, use it to best teachers. They will consume the child with their subject. Because the truth is, in many cases, a teacher is a cultish himself or herself. You shouldn't be that way. You've heard me say this, but my soul Be a well-rounded person. I remember when I came to Hammond years ago. The church was smaller, and I was younger and had more time. Didn't travel like I do now some. We had a softball team, played in the church softball league. We won one game, I think, in 16 years. I'm not sure. But I went out to one of the ball games one day. And I had on a pair of yellow slacks and a white sports shirt. And the other pastor was there, dressed like I'm dressed now, except with a black tie. Just like I was dressed this morning. Black tie, black coat, black pants, black socks, black shoes. If he'd had a black hearse, he'd been ready to go. So, some of our guys went out and said, "Hey, preacher, come play some catch." Well, I went out there, and I used to pitch softball, and I played some catch with them, and do it like that. And the other team said, "Hey, pastor, come and play with us like Reverend Howells is playing with his fellows." His pastor went out. They threw the ball to him. He went. He threw it back. And his members sat over there shaking their heads. What is he? He's a cultist. One dimension. One dimension. Now then, the truth is this. Every right and proper affiliation in our lives ought to be given its right and proper time and emphasis. And every one of those affiliations ought to promote the proper time and emphasis with the other affiliations. As we start a new school year, it would be wise for us to see to it that every home magnifies the church and the school, and that the church magnifies the school and the home, and that the school magnifies the home and the church, and that no one of us control the lives of our young people. Then you need to look at your life tonight. You need to think tonight of all the relationships that you have in your life. Are you cultish? What kind of relationship do you have in each area and responsibility of your life? And then, how about your activities? Are you cultish? How about you husbands? Are you trying to control your wife? How about you boyfriends? You trying to control your girlfriends? You know what it is? It's a lack of security. You don't feel secure enough to believe that she can love you and look at somebody else. And so what do? You capture her. How about you moms? Are you trying to control your children? How about you dads? Some of you women are trying to control your husbands. In fact, most of you are. But the honest truth is, that's cultish. No, First Baptist Church of Hammond is not a cult. Not even close to being a cult. It is the organization in the city of Hammond that does the most to promote well-rounded citizens, well-rounded families, good, debt-paying, honest, hard-working people. We promote the secular work of our people and say you ought to be the hardest working person on the job. First Baptist Church of Hammond is not trying to get anyone from any other responsibility. First Baptist Church of Hammond is not trying to be first in your life. Neither is its pastor. But there ought to be one consuming first in your life, and that's the blessed Savior. Everything you do, He ought to control it. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the Bible cult. The Savior. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now tonight, all of this house, I'm finished, but all of this house tonight, we ought to have a reshuffling of our priorities. Some moms ought to reshuffle priorities. Some dads. Some workers in the church. Some husbands, some wives. some school teachers ought to reshuffle our priorities. And let's see to it. We won't be concerned about folks calling us a cult, but they do that because we love each other. There's nothing more disgusting to a woman that's not affectionate than to see another woman that is affectionate put you go in her husband in public. Isn't that disgusting? Isn't that disgusting? She doesn't think it is. I'm not talking about being promiscuous. I'm talking about holding his hand, sitting next to him in the car. I'll tell you a story and I'll close. Then I'll tell you another one and I'll close again. Well, I can't talk very well. I want to make up for it by longevity. This is an old story. I've told it maybe once or twice here. Many years ago, probably 12, 13, our middle daughter, Linda, and her husband, Johnny, were at our house for a while. Now, wait a minute. I had taught our children from infancy, when you get married, you sit right in the middle of that seat in the car. The other night I was driving home, I saw these two lovebirds. This gal was, they had room for 10 more people on her right. Head on his shoulder. I thought, that's disgusting. I passed him, Johnny and Elaine. I told our girls when they're little, when you get married, you sit right, you snuggle up right next to him. I said, before you're married, push the car door out. It was a bad night. Ice, sleet. Terrible night. John and Linda had not been in our house. They'd been gone about 30 minutes. They lived out in Maryville. Been gone about 30 minutes. A call came and said, Brother Hiles, come quickly. There's been an accident. Your daughter and your son-in-law. And that's all. I did not know whether we'd find them dead or alive. I was hoping to find at least Linda alive. But I didn't know. I drove out there praying all the way. And it was the kind of an ice road. You couldn't drive over 5-10 miles an hour. It was tragic. I got out there just probably about a half mile this side of Memory Lane Cemetery. And I saw the wreck. And I saw my son-in-law coming toward me bleeding. I said, Johnny, are you all right? Is Linda okay? He said, yes, preacher, we're both fine. We're injured. And I took Linda for some, I think, x-rays. Not sure about that. But anyway, but nothing bad at all. And then he said, thank you, preacher. Thank you. And I said, for what? He said, look at the car. I looked at the car. They had been hit on the right one-third of that car. And the right one-third of that car was smashed like an accordion. He said, preacher, if you hadn't have taught Linda to sit close to her husband, you wouldn't have a daughter and I wouldn't have a wife right now. Thank you, preacher. When the day comes when I have to close my Bible and preach my last sermon here, and you walk by and look in the casket, and I fully intend to be have my service right here. I hope you can look at me and say, because of him, I was a better wife. Because of him, I was a better mother. Because of him, I was a better father. Because of him, I was a better husband. Because of him, I was a better daughter. Because of him, I was a better son. Because of him, I was a harder worker. Because of him, I was a better student. Let them call me a cultist, a cult leader if they want to. But let it be true that your preacher, while he was your pastor, made you a better everything that you're supposed to be. Shall we pray? Father, I've rambled a lot tonight, partly because of my voice. But somehow I felt like our people needed to hear what I said. It's not one of those preachy type sermons, but it's very important. May it make our people tonight stop and look at the priorities of life and help us to be everything we ought to be to everybody we ought to be in every duty we have to perform. In Jesus' name, amen.